Hello, and I'm your host, Glenn Colley. I want to begin this program with a verse of Scripture for you to think about. It is this: study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Focus especially on the end of the verse, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible can be logically divided into three sections: the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian age. This represents three different laws. Now, all of the laws came from God. All are or were important. I want us to listen now to a Bible teacher named Barry Gilruth Jr. as he talks about this very subject. When he's finished, I'll be back for the wrap-up. You know, without a doubt, the Old Testament is a treasure chest of divine knowledge for mankind today. I could not imagine what it would be like if we did not have the Old Testament to inform us of so many of the divine truths that are found therein. You know, without the Old Testament, we wouldn't know much about the creation of the world. We wouldn't know much about the fall of man. We wouldn't know much about Jesus Christ, of course, outside of those things that are contained in the New Testament. But the Old Testament provides so many things for our benefit today. You think about some of the characters that we know because of the Old Testament. Men such as Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the host of the heroes of faith that we learn about in the Old Testament. You know, occasionally it is suggested that our preaching and teaching ought to be rooted only within the New Testament. And certainly it is true that we're New Testament Christians, and the New Testament is the covenant that we're under today. But you know, the New Testament, although it is certainly very important to us, the Old Testament is also very important. And I think that's what Paul had in mind in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. When he said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You know, in keeping with Paul's declaration regarding the importance of learning the Old Testament, I want us to explore today the basic foundation blocks upon which the Old Testament is built upon. There would be very few people who would not be somewhat familiar with that segment of the Old Testament that we refer to as the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Ten Commandments are the basic foundation blocks upon which the Law of Moses is built. But you know, in order to have a proper understanding of the Ten Commandments and their influence upon the Old Testament, I think it's important that we be aware of several facts. Number one, there was a time in which the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments specifically, I should say, did not exist as far as a collection of materials. You know, I think there is a misunderstanding among some religious people today that the Ten Commandments are just as old as the Garden of Eden itself. But you know, such is not the case. There was a time in which the Ten Commandments as a collection of materials did not exist. The Ten Commandments were first assembled in about 1500 B.C. when Moses gave the people of God God's Word on those tables of stone. Now, the creation of the world had taken place about 2,500 years prior to this particular event. And so, before this time, the Ten Commandments did not exist. Now, that sometimes raises an interesting question among religious people. Well, if the Ten Commandments did not exist for the first 2,500 years in the history of the world, did that mean that it was all right for man to kill, or man to steal, or man to engage in some of the other activities that the Ten Commandments forbid man to engage in? Well, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Man was not permitted to do those things. You see, prior to God establishing a special covenant with mankind in about 1500 B.C., God dealt with family heads on an individual basis. They were known as patriarchs. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has spoken unto us in these last days by His Son, whom He hath ordained. And so, yes, there was a time in which God dealt directly with mankind through those patriarchal heads. And certainly such was true of men such as Noah and Abraham and Isaac and these other Old Testament characters that are so familiar to us. I think about in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Concerning the creation of mankind, man has been created. And the Bible says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. You see, God was dealing with mankind directly. They heard His voice. And then a little bit later on in chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, and God spake unto Noah. Genesis 24 and verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me. Now, this is in context of God speaking unto Abraham. And so, in dealing with these patriarchs, God provided His laws directly to mankind. Now, let's consider the example of Noah. In Genesis 6 and verse 14, God spoke directly to Noah and He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make within the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 15, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth thou out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Again, God dealing directly with mankind. And then in Genesis 9 and verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons, and He said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, something to keep in mind is that there are some things that are so rooted within the very nature of God that these things have always been a part of God's will in every time and in every age, whether you're considering the patriarchal period, the Mosaical period, which would be the time in which Moses came on the scene in the history of the world and delivered God's law to His people, or the Christian age in which we live in today. But as we have said, there are some laws that have always been a part of God's will because they are so deeply rooted within God's very nature. Certainly an example of this would be what God has to say about killing. The Bible says in Genesis 4 and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now this particular passage sets within the context of the patriarchal period. In other words, this particular passage and its application was prior to the time that the law of Moses even existed. Moses hadn't even been born yet. But yet it was wrong to murder during that patriarchal period. God made it very clear in this passage. But then we come to the Mosaical age. And in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And so it was wrong to commit murder under the Mosaical age. That was a part of God's covenant with His people. And certainly such is true today, living in the Christian age. Because in the book of Revelation chapter 21 in verse 8, the Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You see, it's always been wrong to do certain things because those things were just contrary to the very nature of God Himself. Another example of this would be homosexuality. It's always been wrong for man to engage in that type of behavior. It was wrong under the patriarch age. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13, of course, this particular chapter is dealing with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities. Listen what God says. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, we know from our study of this chapter that they were engaged in the sin of homosexuality. And notice that the Bible says that they were sinful. Well, why were they sinful? Because this was something that was contrary to the will of God. Now keep in mind that this took place before Moses was ever born. This took place in the patriarchal period. It's always been wrong to engage in this type of behavior. And certainly such was the case in the Mosaical age. In the book of Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, God said to His people, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, for it is an abomination." It's always been an abomination. And we know that the New Testament also forbids such. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind." Now, some translations actually say sodomites. Of course, that has reference to the ungodly activities of those who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah back in the book of Genesis. The Bible goes on to say that these things are contrary to sound doctrine. So here we have seen two examples of where an activity has always been wrong to engage in. It was wrong in the Mosaical age, it was wrong in the patriarchal age, and it's wrong in the Christian age today. But you know, a second truth that is important for us to consider as we continue thinking about these Ten Commandments is this. The Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses, if you will, was given to a particular people for a particular time. Again, I think there is a misunderstanding among some within the religious world that the Ten Commandments were given to all mankind. And many sincere people today believe that they're under the Ten Commandments today. And I think that this misunderstanding is due to a couple of things. Number one, they believe that the Ten Commandments were given to all mankind. But I want you to see what the Bible says about that. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Moses called," now notice, "all Israel." Now who's under consideration here? Well, it's Israel, all of Israel. "And he said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I shall speak into your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord God made a covenant," notice, "with us." Now, who's under consideration? Well, the Israelites, those who had come out of the Egyptian bondage, who had followed Moses to Mount Horeb. And he says, "God has made a covenant with us who are here at Horeb." Notice, "the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers." This was not a covenant that their forefathers were a part of. He says, "But He's made it with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day." And then in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and verse 13, the Bible says, "And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you," notice, "to perform, even 10 commandments." Now, who is under consideration here? Well, my friend, it is those who came out of Egyptian bondage. Those who were of the physical lineage of Abraham. Those who were born out of the family of Abraham. And He says, "And He wrote them upon two tables of stone." Then in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thou hast seen with thine eyes, and lest they depart from the heart the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all of the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. You see, my friends, these passages clearly teach us that the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments therein were given to the fleshly descendants of Abraham, specifically those who came out of the land of Egypt when God made a special covenant with that family that originated from Abraham there at Mount Horeb. You see, the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments were never ever given to any Gentile nation. And so for those of us who are not Jewish, which I would say would be certainly the vast majority of people in the world today, they had never had any direct application to us. That is, those Ten Commandments. Now notice I said direct application. Because although there is no direct application, since we are not of the physical lineage of Abraham, certainly there is an indirect application. And I think that's why Paul, at least in part, wrote, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, written for my learning and your learning, for everyone's learning, that we, through patience and hope of the Scriptures, might have hope of life everlasting. Well, if it's the case that we Gentiles are not under the Ten Commandments today, does that mean that we can kill, that we can steal, that we can commit adultery, that we can engage in those things that the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses forbid God's people from engaging in at that time? Well, absolutely not. Because whereas the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments were given to the fleshly lineage of Abraham and his descendants, specifically there at Mount Horeb, God has given to us a spiritual covenant, a covenant that is given to all men everywhere, regardless of their race, regardless of their geographic origin. Because in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance, God once winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. And then in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we see the universal application of the law of Christ, because it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things that were done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so we have seen thus far today that there was a time in which the Ten Commandments as a collection did not exist. We have also seen today that the Ten Commandments were given to a particular people for a particular time. And thirdly, what I would like for you to consider at this time is that those Ten Commandments given by Moses at Mount Horeb to the Israelites were only intended to last for a period of time, and that period of time would be the coming of Christ and ultimately the death of Christ on Calvary's hill. You see, in other words, even the Jews themselves are no longer under the law of Moses. For as we will see and have seen, the law of Christ is universal in scope, and it applies to both Jew and Gentile. You know, about 900 years after God established His covenant with the Jews there at Mount Horeb, God's prophet, a man by the name of Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, made this promise. Now listen to what God says here. The Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant, He says, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God forewarned many years in advance that He was going to make a new covenant. Notice what He says. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You see, a little Jew, when he was born, he was automatically in that covenant. And he had to be taught from the very beginning that he was in a covenant, and he had to be taught to know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. You're a Jew, and this is what you do because you're under the covenant. You were born into this covenant by your fleshly lineage. But Jeremiah said, the day is coming in which God's going to make a new covenant. And then in that covenant, you're not going to have to teach them to know the Lord, know the Lord. Why? Because they're already going to be aware of the Lord when they enter into that covenant, you see. Well, why would God even make a covenant then that was only going to be temporary in nature? Well, you see, the book of Hebrews tells us that the reason for that is because that it wasn't so much that the covenant was faulty, because it was not. But God found fault with His people. They didn't keep His covenant. And so that raises another interesting question. Why did God even then give the law of Moses? Why did He give the Ten Commandments if eventually He was going to bring about the law of Christ anyway? You know, Paul answers that question for us. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, listen to what Paul says. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, what's the purpose of the law? What purpose did it fulfill? It was added, notice, because of transgressions. And then, here's certainly a key phrase. He says, till the seed should come. Now, the seed there has reference to Jesus Christ. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. In other words, the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, which were a part of it, were a bridge to take God's people to the time in which Jesus Christ would give His life on Calvary's hill and would establish a better covenant. Better in that it is established on better promises. Better in that there's a better sacrifice. You know, the Hebrew writer said the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. And so this covenant of Christ was in divine fulfillment to the promise that God made to Abraham in the long ago. You know, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. You know, Peter talked about that. Sometimes we make promises and we just don't ever get around to keeping them. But you know, the Lord's not that way. And when He makes a promise, He keeps it. And sometimes we get impatient about the Lord's promises. For example, the coming of the Lord. We become impatient sometimes. But the Lord always keeps His promise. And God made a promise to Abraham in the long ago. And that promise was that He was going to bless this man. And this man was going to have children that were going to be even more numerous than the grains of sand. And God kept His promise. Because we read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, isn't that interesting? A lot of times we think of the gospel and we think of it as being a New Testament concept. But the Bible says that the gospel was preached unto Abraham in the long ago. Well, the word gospel just simply means good news. And so what that means is that there was good news that was preached to Abraham in the long ago. Well, how so? What good news? Well, listen to what he says. In these shall all nations be blessed. You see, that was the promise that was made to Abraham in the long ago. And though hundreds of years had passed, God kept His promise. You see, all nations can now come together and be a part of the covenant of Christ. And so, the old covenant of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, were only temporary in nature. And they were for the purpose of bringing mankind to the time in which Jesus Christ would establish His covenant. The Hebrew writer talked about this in Hebrews 8 in verse 13, in that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and, notice, waxeth old is ready to vanish away. When does something decay? Well, an animal dies, it begins to decay. You see, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, became dead. How so? Well, Jesus Christ came and established the new covenant. Hebrews 12 and verse 24 says that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Colossians 2 and verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And then notice, it says He took it away and He nailed it to the cross. You see, there was the point in time in which the old covenant, the law of Moses, and the Ten Commandments, which were a part of that, were fulfilled. They were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ established His new covenant. Now, anyone today who would try and justify themselves by the Ten Commandments per se, or by the law of Moses, need to consider very carefully what Paul had to say about this in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Paul said, "Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." Well, does that mean then that we can kill today? Does that mean that we can steal? Does that mean that we can commit adultery? Oh, no. You see, we can't do those things. But the reason that we don't do those things is not because those things were addressed in the law of Moses. But the reason we don't do those things today is because those matters have been addressed in the law of Christ, in the New Testament. And I think it's interesting to note that of those 10 commandments that were given to Moses there on Horeb, 9 out of the 10 commandments are repeated either in principle or in some fashion within the New Testament. 9 of the 10, with the exception of one, the one being, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We don't find that one in the New Testament because Jesus Christ has given us a new day, the first day of the week. I want to close my comments today by simply reading from the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come," he says, "we're no longer under a schoolmaster." The law of Moses was the schoolmaster. It was a school bus, if you will, to take us to the classroom, to the school. But once you get to the school, you got to get off the bus. He goes on by saying, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Old Peter said in Acts chapter 10, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted to Him."
Don't you love to learn more about the Bible? I've been studying it seriously for many years, and the more you learn, the more you find there is to learn. Every time you open it to read it, it's like taking a teaspoon and dipping out part of the ocean. I'm Glenn Colley.